freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
But I want to get the language right.
The big government is in trouble.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of media?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
My name is S.M. Gibson, and you are listening to Anti-Media Radio. I don't even know what to say. It is April the 6th, 2017. The United States is, as we speak, bombing the country of Syria. Why? Because of chemical weapons attacks. Is there evidence that points to the perpetrator? No, there is not. Is there tons of propaganda that is supposed to arouse your emotions? Oh, there's tons of that. We've been through this in 2013. We went through this in Iraq. We went through this in Vietnam. And here we go again. No, not on my watch. Let me explain something to everyone listening right now. You have been fooled. You have been hijack your brains, believe something that is not true. There is zero evidence to suggest that Assad was behind these chemical attacks. Am I sitting here as a defender of Bashar al-Assad? I am not. Do I think that he is this great omnipotent person? No. I think he's a scumbag like every other politician. But guess what? Bashar al-Assad does not have the resources. Bashar al-Assad does not have the potential to declare World War III on our planet. The United States does. And for everybody that's really upset that Hillary Clinton didn't win, let me tell you something. Hillary Clinton would have done this. This would have happened a month ago. We got an extra month. I'll say that for Trump. I'm going to bring in Shannon in a second, and he's going to attest to you that he remembers, as he made fun of me for saying Trump was going to win, at least we'd get an extra month of life with Trump. At least we'd have a little extra time. I didn't trust him. I was never going to vote for him. Didn't expect anything out of him, but I expected we'd have a month or two with him. I expected we'd have a month or two. And here we are. With that being said, Shannon Madden, I'm beside myself tonight.
We're at war. We are officially at war with Syria.
We've been at war. What have we been doing in Yemen?
No, man, that's just no, that's just pretend. That's just, you know, operations and whatnot. This is real, actual war.
Oh, because CNN wants to put it on their TV?
Is yeah, I'm sure that there'll be an Operation Freedom or Operation something. Or there'll be a catchy slogan to come up with it, and probably even a song if you saw the old movie, Wag the Dog.
Operation, you've been hustled.
Yes, Operation Hustle. Yeah, this is no good. This is no good on a lot of different fronts, because just a few weeks ago, Assad was basically kind of trying to tell some folks, hey, by the way, we have a rebel forces have gained access to chemical weapons. Now, I don't know. It's really strange how one thing kind of leads to another. I don't think like a lot of people do. I'm a little weird. And I don't know, something made me pull up the old Waco documentary. If you've never seen it, you need to give it a try. And you can say, oh, stop all you want to, but the correlation between the two I didn't realize it before sat down to watch it. I don't know. I got off on a little bunny trail and was like, I want to pull that up and see what that's all about. It's just another example of how your government is going to lie to you, and they're going to continue to lie to you about the lies that they told. And then even when they found out about the lies that they told, they're going to try to spin it a certain different way. Assad has already been on record over the past couple of weeks discussing the fact that there were rebels in the region that had gained access to chemical weapons. Then suddenly there's a chemical weapon attack, and suddenly now we are officially at war with Syria. Now, we've been dancing around the issue and had troops on the ground in, you know, supporting.
We've been having troops there.
Absolutely. No, but now those troops can actually hold a rifle and start shooting people like they were intended to do all along. The narrative, you can drop the narrative now. We're officially at war.
All right. I'm going to throw this back to Tuesday's episode. What did I start the program with? And what specific topic have you heard me just go off on these ridiculous rants about? Tuesday was the 49th anniversary of Martin Luther King's assassination. We know I don't need a date or an anniversary to rail about that. But at the end of the day, the importance of that is the United States government will look you in the eye and lie. Lie, lie, lie. They're liars. We've seen it over and over again. Oh, if you're a liberal, you were against Iraq, but you're for this? You're an idiot. You're not a liberal. You're a moron is what you are. We have to come together as a species of humans to fight against violence against other people. I don't give a crap who you pay your taxes to. I don't care. There's people dying. And now they're going to promote this garbage? Are you serious right now? You're going to go along with this because you're so stupid that you believe propaganda, that you are so entrenched in these colors because there's a flag waving over a building? You want to see people die? Are you kidding me right now? This is a joke. Right now, I am going to bring on the genius, the Svengali, the man himself, the CEO, the editor-in-chief of Anti-Media. We all know his name from Monday and Wednesday nights here on UCY.TV, Nick Burnaby. Nick, what is up?
Well, I don't know about all that genius stuff, but maybe canary in the coal mine is a better description. I mean,
I like that. My favorite police song.
I can't believe that the United States is now bombing Syria. This is un-effing believable. And the excuses given that the Syrian government supposedly, again, I say supposedly in quotes here because we don't have any evidence. All we have is a couple of edited videos from some rebels on the ground who are fighting. Keep in mind, they're fighting against Assad, so they have motive to fake videos as well. I'm not saying this is a false flag.
Nick, hold on a second, Nick. For the record, we literally have a person in Congress. Her name is Tulsi Gabbard. We literally have a person in the Senate. His name is Rand Paul. They have presented bills that have said we have to stop funding terrorists. We're talking about the exact same people in Syria that are claiming these attacks happened. We have a senator and we have a congressperson that are saying we funded this, we started this, it's us.
Yeah, and look, the area where this chemical attack happened is a town that's held by Al-Nusra Front, which is an Al-Qaeda affiliate, you know, and so, you know, whatever, that's beside the point. Look, they're saying that this is all about Assad supposedly killing 70 people. The United States killed 1,000 innocent civilians last month in Iraq and Syria. Why, you know, like, if we're going to go start bombing countries for killing civilians, why are we not bombing? Why isn't Donald Trump bombing Washington, D.C. right now? Like, we killed 1,000 civilians last month. Why are we bombing another country for killing 70 civilians? That, to me, does not make any effing sense at all, dude. Like, it blows my mind that they're doing this. And honestly, dude, like, there's no legal basis for this. You can't just go around bombing countries. I mean, I think the argument can be made that you have to have congressional support to bomb.
No, you can't. Are you kidding me? The last time the United States had congressional support to go into a war was in World War II. We've been in Korea. We've been in Vietnam. We've been in Iraq. And let me tell you something. I'm missing a whole multitude of nations of the, which we've been involved in their politics. We've killed people. We've bombed. We've droned. The list goes on and on and on. And the only reason I'm not naming them is out of my own ignorance. The list goes on and on, but just Vietnam in and of itself was not congressionally agreed to. Are you kidding me? They don't care about that.
I think the way that they got around that was like, oh, we're not bombing the Vietnamese government. We're fighting the rebels. We're not, you know, and it's the same exact thing.
Rebels!
You know, but now, I mean, we're talking about, yeah, well, like with Iraq and Saddam Hussein, I mean, we're bombing a government. Of an established country, you know, like there's supposed to be a process that goes through. I'm not saying that, you know, this is not going to happen because he doesn't have congressional approval. What I'm saying is that it's illegal because he's supposed to be getting congressional approval for
this. It was illegal when Obama did it. It was illegal when George W. Bush did it. It was illegal when Bill Clinton did it. And it was illegal when George H.W. Bush did it. And nobody cares. Because all people want to do is go, well, my side, I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican. And that's all I care about. People are brainwashed. They think there's a difference in these parties. They think that there is a difference in these ideologies. And it's disgusting. Now, I will say this for what's going on right now in Syria. I told everybody specifically, I was one of the few people that said, A, Trump is going to win the presidential election. She's never going to become president. Not many people can say that. But I will tell you this. I also said, there's nothing about him that's trustworthy. We never know what's going to happen. And I think World War III will be pushed off by 2 or 3 months with him being elected. Because she's going to push for it immediately, and it's going to be pushed off on him a few months later. And I think what we're seeing is, and this is not a defense of Trump, because I think Trump is like every other politician. They've bamboozled him. They've backed him into a corner. They've checkmated him.
And they, you know, one thing that's really struck me recently is how tight-lipped Donald Trump has been about. When have you ever remembered Donald Trump being tight-lipped about anything?
He did say, in fairness of what you're saying, he was pretty pro-war yesterday as he spoke next to the King of Jordan in a joint press conference on the White House lawn. We hosted it on the antimedia.org. It was the top story. And for anybody that's out there right now and they feel like that they're missing these little specifics, we try to do our best to have all that info on the antimedia.org. This was there, and you saw Trump saying, I'm ready for war. I'm ready to do this. Alex Jones, which Roger Stone, Paul Joseph Watson, that is a huge, huge demographic of people that helped him get elected. They've turned on him now. Where are we going to go from here? Why are, obviously, I finally glad that, you know, this quote unquote conspiracy sites have turned on him. I'm glad that's happened. I wish they would have done this back when he joined the race. Like I've always said, look, I enjoy some entertainment. I get it. I'm down with it. Screw Marco Rubio. Screw Ted Cruz. I think it's hilarious when he makes fun of these people, but there's nothing about this man that's trustworthy. Nothing. And here we are. They pushed him into a corner. And Nick, we talked off air earlier tonight, and I think you pinpointed it perfectly when you said that Trump had been so pushed into a corner with this Russia crap, which we all know that's a farce. That is a literal, the craziest. And when we say conspiracy theory, that is like basically fan fiction. It's not conspiracy. It's just make-believe. But they pushed him into such a corner with this Russia stuff that if he doesn't act on it, then all of a sudden, well, look at what you're doing for them. Look at what you're doing for Russia.
Yeah, dude. I mean, that's what it's all been about, dude. We're sitting here wondering, like, well, what is this Russian stuff about? What is this Russian stuff about? And I was thinking, you know, this is probably so that they can just make sure that Trump doesn't get cozy with Russia. So they, you know, at any moment in time, if Trump ever is seen working with Russia or coming to terms with Russia or anything like that, then they say, well, look, Trump's a Russian stooge. He was, you know, Putin put him in power, blah, 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 blah. And they could always use that against him, not only to get people to think that way, but also to dig into Trump's ego. Man, like, if you know Trump's an egomaniac, then where do you try to hurt him? Well, in his legitimacy. So they say, you know, they say, well, is Trump legitimate? I don't know. He's really soft on Russia. I mean, how much more of a way for Trump to also fix his ego would it be to say, well, you want to see something? I'm gonna start, you know, some real shit with Russia, and that'll shut you guys up. You know, like these guys have, Trump is being played. He's got his huge ego, and that's gonna cost us. Like we're now in a point where, and another thing that's interesting is how the Chinese president is actually here in the U.S. right now. That is very, very, very interesting stuff, dude. But this puts us in play. I mean, we're bombing Syria, which, you know, everybody knows is a very, very close ally most important to us, Russia. And secondly, to Iran. I mean, these are two countries who we've been going through some tough times with, and that we are, you know, in some tense relations with and stuff. Like, bombing Syria isn't just bombing Syria. You're triggering a chain reaction that, who knows, could lead to something really, really bad. Worst case scenario, you know, we're looking at what would probably eventually be called World War III. I mean, the Russians and the U.S. go against.
Well, you do realize, Nick, though, that Russia has come out and said that they were willing to investigate the source of these bombings. And even Russia right now is backing off of the fact that maybe it could possibly be.
That's true, but that was before the bombs just started falling, dude. Like, now we got to go and see what Russia is.
Well, fair enough, but I'm throwing that out there for the propaganda, because that's the propaganda being spewed. And what do you think would make Russia turn on that? Before you answer that, I want to throw this out there. I was today sitting in a doctor's office, and they had above me CNN playing. And we all understand what CNN is, and it's just absolute garbage. And they were literally showing tweets from Trump in 2013, which sounds like something we would do here at Anti-Media. We would bring to the forefront that, hey, in 2013, Trump said he's never going to go to war with Syria, and this is a joke, and you're all morons. They were showing that on corporate media earlier today. And yet at the same time, we know they're not against these activities that they're carrying out tonight. They're not against the bloodshed because they're just a part of the machine. But,
It's been about a day since this attack happened. There hasn't been an investigation. These people have no, they're not concerned with facts.
No, Anderson Cooper spoke. There's no investigation.
Anderson
Cooper did. Anderson Cooper did all the investigation for us, Nick. Don't you worry a single bit.
Have you not seen his trustworthy gray hair? That's all you need.
A little deeper here. I mean, think about this. I think Trump may have been actually physically meeting with the Chinese president while these strikes were being carried out. Think about that.
That's a rather powerful message, don't you think?
Is Donald Trump just trying – is he dropping bombs on countries to get a better negotiating power at this point? I mean, what in the hell is going through this guy's head?
He is a deal maker.
I wouldn't put that out of the equation, dude. Is he dropping bombs to cut a deal like with China right now because he's – physically meeting with the Chinese president right now.
And I'm going to play devil's advocate here. What if you take the other side of the equation and you do take the InfoWars, Alex Jones, Roger Stone side, and they say that Trump does mean well, but half of his cabinet's been overtaken by neocons. And Trump is going to ultimately do the right thing. Well, obviously, we have seen tonight in the past hour and a half, Trump is not doing the right thing. I think that's important because I think there's a large demographic of people that do listen to the antimedia.org and do follow our page that also follow InfoWars. Alex Jones steered people towards the direction of Donald Trump. I do understand that to a very vague degree because Hillary Clinton was so terrible. If you've ever listened to our show, if you follow the antimedia.org, you know that he was just another illusion coming along. At no point did we ever say that he was the answer or we ever supported him. And even when I was the lone person saying he was going to win, and I had people in my personal life said, well, you support him because you say he's going to win. I didn't support him, not even kind of supported him. I just read the writing on the wall because I'm not a buffoon. But the rest of the world is. And now I said, don't trust him because we're going to get to this point. And now we are here at this point. I want everybody tonight to jump ship. If you were there with InfoWars and you were there with all this crap, jump ship. Now is the time. We told you this was going to happen. This was going to happen. We have to stand together. If we don't stand together, we will fall all together. In 2013, and Nick, you can attest to this, the only reason that we had success in preventing whatever minute part that we had in preventing that war that John Kerry was waving that flag and was a huge cheerleader for was because people from all different demographics, different sides, they listened to the message. They didn't get into this, well, I'm not going to do it because I'm too cool for school kind of crap. They said, we're going to stand up against this. We have to do that starting tonight. We have to start blowing up the White House phone lines tonight. We have to start blowing up the congressional phone lines tonight. They need to know this ain't going to happen. And I get, oh, yeah, what does the government have to do with anything? I understand that. But at the same time, these people want money. They want power. They are scared of losing it. When they have thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people, it sounds like pitchforks at their front door. That's what you can become. You can become a inflamed pitchfork at their front door just by calling a phone number. We all have to do this now. Change your profile pictures. Just make a hashtag. We all have to come together. This is obscene. We cannot stand for this. Nick, I'm going to throw it to you.
Yeah, dude, I mean, we did try to stand up to it in 2013, and it worked, you know, for the most part. I mean, I guess the can was kicked down the road. We had our battle won in 2013 when we stopped Obama from doing exactly what Trump just started doing. But now it's on our hands, you know, it's back on our plate. Like it's back. You know what I mean? Like the movement has to be renewed, and you know, we can't just stand around anymore. I mean, how many wars is it going to be? You know what I mean? Like how many countries are we going to topple? Well, we've got, I mean, the entire argument here, right? There's several justifications for this, is that Assad is a violent guy in charge of a violent government. That's the first argument. Now, the United States has no moral high ground to talk about the issue of government violence. The United States government, I mean, our cops alone kill 1,000 U.S. Americans every year.
And that's a fact, by the way.
Own cops. Like, we're not even talking about us bombing people. Like, our own cops just kill 1,000 people a year. Our own government killed 1,000 people last month in Iraq, and a huge chunk of those numbers came from Mosul, where we're bombarding an entire city. And the media is like, not even talking about this stuff. Like, we killed 1,000 people last month, and now we're...
Wait. Hold on. What about the fact that we're upset about what's going on in Syria, and we ignore Mosul, we ignore the people getting killed there, but Aleppo, you know, we throw Aleppo in people's faces because Russia happened to be present. We don't mention Yemen. We don't mention Mosul because all those deaths, the blood is on the hands of the American taxpayer. That sounds rough, don't it? But it's true.
That's true. That's how it's paid for.
That's what it is. That's what it is. And that's what we got to be honest about it, about what it is we're doing. Because, look, the justification, okay, we want to stop violence, fine. That's bullshit, because our own government is arguably one of the most violent in the world. And secondly, like, we can't even really say that we're against, that the United States is against chemical weapons. Like, again, looking back domestically, we just got done using an internationally banned chemical weapon on our own people at Standing Rock. You know, you guys know that tear gas is considered a chemical weapon, right? And you know that tear gas, it's a war crime if you use it against another country. I don't know if you guys know that, but it's technically considered...
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and so our own government is using tear gas on our own people. That's a chemical weapon, dude. Like, it's...
Oh, no. The United States would never hurt their own citizens, ever, right? And look, what is today's day? Today is April the 6th, right? I'm going to throw this out there for people real quick. We're the freest country in the world. We have freedoms, and our freedoms are ordained by God, right? And I was listening earlier today with my pop, listening to Rush Limbaugh. And I heard Rush Limbaugh say that we're the only country in the world where our freedoms come from God. Actually, incorrect. I don't want to throw this out there. Actually, everybody on this planet, no matter who you are, your freedoms come from God. And the United States government doesn't in any way, shape, or form get to throw that out there, because I will tell you this. If we're so free and I decide not to pay my taxes, you can throw me in jail. You can throw me in prison for not paying your penance to your establishment, okay? That has something to do with an ordained anything. You can throw me in jail because I don't pay you money. That's freedom? And what is this money fund? Exactly what we're talking about. It's crazy. People buy into this crap.
I know, man. It's unbelievable. Rand Paul is now saying on Twitter that Trump needs congressional authorization of course.
Yes, God bless him.
Talked about this already. They don't respect congressional authorization, so like, why even get it when you know Obama never had to go through it?
But Trump called for it in 2013. That's the thing. When Rand tweeted what he tweeted, I don't know exactly what you're talking about. Tweeted what he tweeted. He was referring to a Trump tweet from 2013.
No,
Trump called for this.
Trump knows the right thing to do is to go and consult Congress and see if Congress is willing to give you the authority to go bomb another country. That's how the Constitution, as shitty as it is, that's how it's designed to work. Like, it's supposed to work that way. So basically what's going on right now, it's illegitimate, it's unconstitutional, and it's just, I mean, if people really were concerned about the rule of law and stuff, we wouldn't be arresting pot smokers and shit. We'd be arresting people who break the Constitution and wage massive criminal actions in our name with our money. Like, more than half the shit they're doing on foreign policy right now, like, if people were getting serious about following the fucking actual law, like, they would arrest half the people in government and shut down most of our foreign policy, because none of it is really authorized by the Congress, you know? Like, people, dude, like, how unpopular, and like, this is the second point I wanted to make. How unpopular does a government have to be before it starts losing like legitimacy? Like, when can we say, look, the Congress is so unpopular and Trump is so unpopular that we're just not going to listen to anything they have to say anymore, and they're powerless because we refuse to pay attention to them? Like, at what point do we start to say that? Because right now, another thing about Syria, dude, they're saying, oh, well, we're thinking about removing Assad because he's such a bad guy. You know, he's such a violent, bad guy. Well, dude, like, how can a country who's got, like, a legislature with a 9% approval rating go around and tell other countries, like, oh, well, your government's real bad. You guys' government's real bad. You know, we're going to tell you how to make a new government. We're going to help you do it. But how can we do that when our own government is horribly dysfunctional, extremely violent, expansionary, in $20 trillion in debt, and that's a very, very conservative estimate? How can our government go around telling other countries, hey, guys, we're going to help get rid of your president because he's a dumbass. He's violent. He's bad. It's like, okay, how many people elected Donald Trump?
Wait. Hold on. I got to step in here, and you know this, Nate.
Elected Donald Trump.
But listen, I'm so sick of Americans, these idiots, thinking that Donald Trump, we're going to air 1984 now because Donald Trump's been elected. Everything's been great. Man, government's been wonderful. We've been treated fantastic. And then Donald Trump was elected. And 2 months later, it's time for 1984. We're all Dale Gribble over here. Wrong. Listen, this started on September – well, actually, if you want to know the truth, this started on November the 22nd, 1963. But this really kicked off on September the 11th, 2001, and the government said, oh, we got the Patriot Act. We can do whatever we want. We can spy on you. We can look at everything you're doing. And you know what? I will defend Trump on this. They say – was Trump being spied on? Of course he was. Are you kidding me? Of course he was. We're all being spied on. It's asinine to believe otherwise. The government is bigger than one person. This is a systematic problem that has gone on for decades and decades and decades and decades. And if you still think that the problem is, well, Obama ruin this or Trump ruin this, you're an idiot. You know nothing about what's actually going on.
Yeah, you know, I want to propose this. You know, it just I have to keep going back to this. It's really strange to me that Assad announces several weeks before that he discovers that rebels have chemical weapons in the area. And it reports it, I believe it was to the UN or somebody. I have to go back and pull up the report. Then we also have a situation where the Secretary of State just kind of shrugged his shoulders one day and tells a reporter, you know, I think we're just going to let the Syrian people deal with Assad. We're not going to have anything to do with it. Just nothing there. all around the same time these two events take place. Then we see a chemical weapon attack that nobody is taking claim for. Nobody. And everybody's pointing fingers at who the actual aggressor was. And before we can find out the answer to anything, we're firing missiles at Syria. I mean, that's it. That's the timeline. And just that in and just those things in it juxtaposed in and of themselves suggests that something a little bit more nefarious is going on here.
Yeah, dude, I think you're right, man. Like, it's so rushed, and it's like it's more like, okay, this thing has been planned out for a while now, and they're just waiting for the right trigger to pull it. And yeah, dude, like, you know, it happened all so quick. There's no time for anyone to react. There's no time for a resistance to mobilize. We're talking about getting a resistance mobilized right now, but the resistance has been co-opted by fucking BuzzFeed and Washington Post acting like they're the opposition to Trump. That's another thing that I was really like thinking about.
But Russia.
I was thinking about this yesterday. I was thinking about writing an article about this, but like the mainstream media, because of the fact that Trump has been bashing them, they have been able to position themselves as like the quote unquote hashtag resistance to Donald Trump. And so we got like, I don't know if you guys saw this stuff about this Pepsi ad yesterday and all this shit. Like,
oh, yeah.
Do not bring up this Pepsi ad on my radio show.
Yes, Nick. I want to talk about it. Bring it up.
About WrestleMania before we talk about this Pepsi ad.
I'm not going to talk about the Pepsi ad. I'm just talking about the reaction to it. BuzzFeed and Washington Post position themselves as like, oh, my God, I can't believe Pepsi and Kendall Jenner did this. Like, we're gonna stand up to this injustice. You know what I'm saying? Like, here's the thing. Because of Trump's relationship with the main, quote-unquote, mainstream media, they've been able to position themselves as the forefront of the resistance. Like, this is the exact thing we've been trying to work against. The mainstream media has now repositioned itself to, like, you know, the hashtag resistance is, like, the Democratic establishment.
Hold on real quick. I'm going to bring on the resistance right like, now.
A bunch of... You know, they've co-opted the real resistance, the ideological resistance to Donald Trump. It's been co-opted by the neoliberal leftist establishment. It's ridiculous, dude.
Yeah, that sounded too PC for me. I'm going to go ahead and bring on the actual resistance. His name is Justin King. If you don't know him, he is the founder, the editor-in-chief of the Fifth Column. I know he has lots of insightful opinions about what's going on tonight in Syria. Justin, what is up?
Northrop Grumman stock. we're fucked. I
mean, I've been telling people that forever.
this isn't going to go well at all. We just blew about $75 million to hit an airfield. Unless there were actual chemical weapons and there was a satellite photo of them sitting on the tarmac, it's completely idiotic. This is a show of force by Trump, and it actually probably has more to do with being able to say, hey, look, I'm not a Russian stooge. They don't want me to do this, so I did it. The problem is this is an overt, illegal act of war. We just violated all kinds of international laws. We have no use of force authorization for this. We have nothing from the UN saying that this is legal in any way, shape, or form. And the end result is we don't even know whether or not it was Assad that did this gas attack. Everything in my gut tells me it wasn't. He has nothing to gain from this. I mean, it's... Oh, you know, you've got top flight advisors from Russia. You've got Spetsnaz guys ready to do your bidding. You are locked and loaded, ready to go, and you are kicking the crap out of the opposition. Hey, I've got an idea. Let's give the U.S. the perfect pretext for invasion. It's fucking idiotic. And they packaged it. They sold it. You know, 79 people died or 72 people died, and it was a tragedy. Meanwhile, 3 weeks ago
– just to be clear here, like, this is Nick. You're typically the guy that is like debunking conspiracy theories. Like,
it's not a conspiracy; it's fact.
Look, we're not lightly when Justin King is saying that this is maybe not technically a false flag, but it's we shouldn't be assigning blame yet.
No, yeah, there are huge differences between this and a lot of the conspiratorial theories out there about different events. Assad has absolutely nothing to gain from this. In fact, 2 weeks ago, the Syrian government said, the Syrian government actually filed with the UN and said, hey, the rebels in this area, they got chemical weapons. 2 weeks ago, UN didn't act on it. So now,
go ahead, Justin. And I got a question for you when you're finished.
My guess is that what the Russians are saying is kind of true, that they launched an attack to try to hit these weapons, and the rebels dispersed them when the attack came to create the exact situation we're looking at right now. It appears that Assad did it, and I don't think that he did.
This is okay. This is and this is definitely you, Justin. For my reading yesterday, first off, the government of Syria admitted that, and you know the terminology way better than I do. It was Su-22 airstrikes that hit over this region. Syria admits that they conducted those airstrikes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, apparently that these planes are not equipped to carry chemical weapons in any way, shape, or form, meaning that the bombs that drop would have had to have hit chemical weapons that were already on the ground, correct?
That is the most likely thing that happened. I mean, there are other options. They could have been dumped out of aircraft that weren't listed in that report, but there's no evidence to actually support anything other than the Syrians tried to take out the chemical weapons that they told the UN existed 2 weeks ago. The UN was just like, whatever. So they tried to take them out, and either they were dispersed, which is what it appears to be, or when the explosion happened, and it would take a freak chain of events for this to occur, but it's possible that the explosion itself dispersed it. Sarin, which is what is most likely the culprit, is a binary chemical weapon.
Let me ask you real quick, Justin. Okay, mm-hmm. When you look at the pictures of everything that's going on, and you look at similar pictures of sarin attacks that have happened in Asia and China, you see hazmat suits from head to toe carrying out victims, and you see the victims being carried out from the attacks 2 days ago in Syria. They're definitely not hazmat suits. They have these, you know, the thin blue little mask, and they're touching other skin here. What do you think about that?
That's a matter of one being over cautious and one being under cautious. They shouldn't have been doing what they're doing, but the fact that only two of these guys got sick afterwards lends credence to the theory that it was dispersed by an explosion or something on the ground. Had this been airborne and concentrated, they'd be dead. All of the evidence that I see, everything, amounts to this being dispersed at very, very low altitude, on the ground, most likely. And it not carrying very far. It's in a pretty concentrated area. And it looks like Assad's not – I don't want to say he's innocent because he's a horrible man, but he's not guilty of this, you know?
Right. And one last question I have for you is when it pertains to Trump. My father has a theory, which I don't necessarily discredit, and he's somebody that's older that does watch Fox News, but at the same time he's very perceptive of everything that's going on. And his theory is that Trump came in and was, you know, he wasn't a Trump supporter, but he didn't hate Trump. But at the same time, he feels like Trump gave over the reins to the generals in the military, and now they're going just buck wild and doing whatever they want. And we've talked about the institution of the military many times, me and you on the show. Do you think that's even feasible, that he just said, all right, well, I trust you, you're the generals, and now they're just doing crazy stuff? Or do you think that this is planned with Trump, or do you think they're just going around Trump?
I honestly, if there is some military involvement here. This is going to be something that has been in the works since the original plan to oust Assad back in 01. And they finally see a perfect storm of events to perform something like that. You know, I'm not somebody that doesn't – I don't say that false flags never happen, but they rarely do. This is a situation in which something like this could give them exactly what they want. I don't think that's what happened. I think that this was an event that occurred, and they're seizing on it.
Do you think they're seizing on Trump's ego to push him in a direction?
Oh yeah, I think that they're pushing him in the sense of, we don't want to appear like you're just bowing down to the Russians. You have to be strong. And then with all of this stuff that's coming out, and you know, with Flynn in the background saying, give me a deal, boys, I'll sink them all. I think that he's got to try to distance himself from Russia as much as possible. And if it costs lives, so be it. I mean, that's the way he's looking at it.
Now, how do you feel about Russia coming out and saying, okay, well, we're going to go ahead and investigate this, and we're not going to jump to conclusions, even though for the past, the 18 hours that they've run stories in the AP and Reuters saying, would you know on Russian media that they didn't show the victims? And it's clearly this one line of thinking, and now Russia is saying, well, we're going to investigate it. Now, my interpretation is that, politically speaking, that Russia is at least trying to save face during all this.
I think that Russia is aware of what actually happened on the ground, and I think that they're hoping that
I think the United States is, too.
I think Russia's hoping they can get evidence of it, and then they can say the United States committed an unwarranted, unjustified, and completely illegal act of war against Syria and demand our troops withdraw. And if that's the case, God, I hope they succeed.
But you know as well as I do, nobody's going to believe that, because you have people like Louise Mensch and you have CNN that are just – that anything that goes wrong, they go, you're a Russian bot. You know, and nobody's going to actually take that as fact. Even if it may be 100% fact, nobody's going to believe that.
It may be – I don't know. I think people are starting to wake up. I mean, it's always the same organization saying, oh, my God, they've got chemical weapons, we have to invade, and then they're never there. And we have a situation here in which the rebels, okay, we know that they've used chemical weapons. You know, a lot of them they've tried to blame on the Syrian government, but we also know the Syrian government is not going to attack the Kurds. Assad is a lot of things. He's not stupid. The Kurds have been hit with various chemical weapons. So the idea that it's impossible for the rebels to have chemical weapons, it's not holding water, and I don't think it's holding water with the average person out there. They know that they're the bad guys. ISIS is the bad guys. So, you know, all of these other groups that are kind of like ISIS, they must also be the bad guys. They have chemical weapons. So maybe it was theirs. I'm hoping that the American people will see that. I don't know if they will.
You have more belief than I do. I think the American people are idiots, and I don't think they will see that.
Well, I honestly, at this point, I don't know if I actually believe it, or as much as I'm trying to convince myself that we're not going to go into Syria. Like, I really...
I'm hoping... this is my one holdout, is that for as crazy as people like Alex Jones are, and they supported him and all this garbage, that they now, in the past, 24 hours, have turned on Trump. And they're saying, you can't do this. This is wrong. Thank God they finally spoke up after, 24 months, that they should have spoke up a long time ago.
And even Alex is probably back on his meds now is what it is.
Well, fair enough.
Oh, vitality.
But he's getting some resistance from his actual base, the people that put him in office. He's now getting resistance to it. Do you think he'll respond to that, or do you think Trump is going, in his mind, well, I have information and intelligence that you don't have, which is clearly manufactured, and he's going to pursue his manufactured intelligence
other than what he knows to be true, the 2013 Trump, which we've all seen tweeting out saying never, ever, ever, ever go to war with Syria.
I have no idea.
I really think this is like Trump's baptism, right? And this, he, you know, as you were saying, SM, that, you know, he's losing part of his base over this. That's completely true. But he's gaining a whole new demographic, which is like the deep state and all these people that have been giving him shit about, oh, Russia, Russia, Russia. This is his baptism. No more Russia after this. They're not going to accuse him of any Russia nonsense after this. He's like, this is part of what this is. It's
they're going to hold that over his head for the next 4 years. Anytime he sees wrong, they're going to hold that over his head.
That's true. But Trump, with this huge ego that he's got, nothing hurts him more than people saying or thinking that he's an illegitimate president. So this is really his baptism. This is his first day as legitimate Donald Trump in the eyes of like the deep state and, you know, everybody else that are trying to make this stuff happen. Like now Trump is no longer going to have to deal with all these attacks from the neocon neoliberal establishment about Russia, because now it's clear he's willing to go and bomb Syria. And that's what, like, this is, in my opinion, that's what all of this Russia crap has been about, was getting Trump to shift and be willing to take actions like this against Russia and its allies. That's all that stuff was about. Because now if Trump is ever perceived as weak on Russia, or if they ever, like, just even with this military strike, like, well, Trump didn't act in Syria, well, obviously because he's a Russian puppet. That, you know, you can't really say that anymore. And so that, in that way, Trump, he may be losing part of his base with Alex Jones and all these people.
But they got him elected.
You know, he's gaining the real powerful allies that he needs in Washington, D.C. by doing that.
I don't disagree with you on that. But at the same time, okay, I feel like me and you, Nick, we talked about this, geez, it was 2 years ago. And I still to this day believe that the plan was for Marco Rubio to be president. Ironically, the first major politician to come out tonight and support these airstrikes was Marco Rubio.
He was on CNN talking about
his strikes,
like, basically while they were happening. Like,
Marco Rubio is supposed to be the president right now.
How the hell did he beat John McCain to that? I just, that's beyond me.
Because he's young, he's good looking, he's gay, he's got everything going in his face.
True. Yeah, that just happened.
Yeah, it was crazy how quickly he was on CNN. Like, it was like the news was breaking, and then Rubio was already there. You know, my reaction is just, this is awesome. Donald Trump has proven himself to be such a great president. I'm not even playing. This is what Marco Rubio was saying on CNN. I'm not joking. He was doing it, man. And I was just going to say, what do you think Hillary Clinton is doing right now? She's probably sitting back somewhere grinning and just like, damn, they've got him. They got him.
Well, got him.
Listen, I still stand by this. We got an extra month without Hillary. This would have happened a month ago if she was president.
No, that's probably true.
We got an extra month of life, I'm telling you. Trump is still the better option. We had an extra month. And as far as the deep state goes, as far as Rubio goes, this goes back, especially what we've talked about, Nick, on this program we have published on the antimedia.org. Justin, you have published on the Fifth Column. This is not just some flash of the pan. This thing happened overnight and we're all shocked about it. This is something we all saw coming. This is symptomatic of a much, much, much bigger problem. And yet you have people that refuse to believe it. They still want to take sides. They still want to say Republican, Democrat, or and look, John McCain's cozying up to Trump for something he did. That should be the biggest red flag ever. I feel personally, and clearly I'm biased, but that it is sites like the Fifth Column and it is sites like the antimedia.org that have been telling people repeatedly for years. Shannon, you know this. You argued me down over what was going to happen, and I told you what was going to happen.
You know, you brought that up like three times in this broadcast.
I'm going to
Dude, that is, you ought to get a fucking t-shirt made up about it.
I should. I should sell them and nobody will buy them because nobody wants to believe reality.
Ding.
Well, I think that we definitely need to start focusing on, I mean, the airstrikes are probably going to continue. We need to start focusing on making sure that people understand that a ground war in Syria will make Iraq look like fucking Panama. It's our troops in on the ground in Syria will be, we haven't seen a death toll that high since Vietnam.
And again, nobody's brought up, you know, right, well, we've touched on a little bit, but what happens if Russia decides to say, oh, yeah, there's also Iran there as well?
That's a different monster altogether, though. That's a whole different geopolitical spectrum.
Yeah, this is officially World War III, and it could easily turn into that at the drop of a dime.
Dude, you know, Syria and Iran have mutual defense agreements, so... You know, if Iran, I want to see Iran's reaction to this, because if Iran interprets this as an act of war, which I don't see how they wouldn't, we may be seeing some bigger alliances get triggered here that are going to wind up being something that gets a much bigger than some stupid airstrike on an airfield that, you know, cost us, you know, taxpayers $77 million. Like,
ultimately, where does China fit in all this? I mean, you know, Trump is sitting across the table from him, right? The China's president, as we speak, down in Mar-a-Lago.
Well, look at Tillerson, what he said about North Korea yesterday. They're obviously ramping up for – if they
– Dude, I just saw an article from a South American government website that was talking about how the State Department issued a warning to Venezuela that the U.S. may have to use – does not take the military option off the table in Venezuela because there's a bunch of unrest going on right there right now. I'm not playing, dude. Like, these idiots are trying to start up or get involved in shit all over the place right now. Like, it's truly, truly frightening stuff.
Justin, what do you feel about the potential of war with North Korea, its implications with China, and what we're seeing in the South Pacific right now?
I think that North Korea there's no reason for us to go to war. I mean, if you look at we're going to turn the west coast of the United States into ashes, and that's what they put on CNN. The rest of the sentence is, if U.S. troops cross the 38th parallel. So, in other words, if we attack them. I mean, everything they actually say is very defensive rhetoric designed to hopefully scare us off.
Hey, when was the last time North Korea has been aggressive? Like, I've never...
Well, they're technically aggressive now because they're shooting missiles into the oblivion of nowhere.
Attacking the ocean. Like, they're attacking the ocean.
Yeah. We do...
But it's propaganda.
We do tests like that.
North Korea has only been created after World War II. They've never actually invaded or bombed anybody outside of Korea.
Right. In fact, even the Korean War was a... It was a civil war. There were two governments laying claim to the whole thing. North Korea has never invaded anybody, ever. But the one thing, as far as an actual conflict there, we have a lot of problems. Number one, nobody currently in the U.S. military has ever fought in that kind of climate. Not a single person. It's been that long since we fought in a climate and terrain similar to North Korea. The last time we won a fight in that climate and terrain was World War II. Our equipment has never been battle tested in it. I don't think people they say Korea and they think like jungles and stuff like that. It's cold, it's rocky, it's mountainous. It's not like anything we've fought in recent times. There's literally nobody that has any firsthand knowledge of it. They're going to be learning it from manuals. And that doesn't bode well. And you know, we've also given the opposition 60 years or so to prepare the ground.
I tell you what, on that, Justin, we're going to be back next week. We've got Jake coming up next. Nick will be here on Monday on UCY. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Shannon. We miss you tonight, Josie. For antimedia.org, the homepage of Independent Media. I am SM Gibson. Next week, we'll be back. Awesome. Let them know, through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.